Blog Talk Radio.
Womp bobbly mop, lop bop bop, toot toot, oh Rudy, toot toot, woo, toot toot, eh, eh, oh Rudy, toot toot, oh Rudy, toot toot, oh Rudy. Womp bobbly mop, lop bop bop, got a gal named Sue, she knows just what to do. I got a gal named Sue, she knows just what to do. She brought me to the east, she brought me to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. What you doing to me?
Reverend Little Richard there, blow the cobwebs. I needed that, to be honest with you. I had a week off last week Christmas and whatnot. And I was good. Apparently Tutti Frutti was much lauded in the 50s, but it was actually about gay sex. So there's one up there for the Puritans, which is... makes me smile. But anyway, hey, it's Thursday. It's episode 25 of the new Panic Room. That's nearly half a year. So we'll have to do something special next week, because it's going to be a half yearly one, I suppose, which is kind of cool. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. Or our listener, hope you had a good Christmas anyway. Hey, listener, thank you for joining us again. Hope everything's okay and whatnot. I think this is Xtina. Hopefully she's sober.
I'm only on my first glass of wine.
It's always hit and miss, isn't it, whether you're going to be too drunk to do the show or not. But touch wood, we've managed so far, haven't we?
We have.
So
yeah,
hey, how are you on your drinking problem? Are you? I'll correct myself. So you have no problem drinking at all, do you?
No, I don't. I was going to say I'm working to develop my drinking problem better. You know, I mean, I'm trying to. And I had a wonderful Christmas. Thank you very much for asking. And
yep. I was mentioning that.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't ask me, did you? You didn't.
No, I didn't.
are you going to? Don't ask.
How was your Christmas?
Don't ask. Socks, mostly. Got socks, which is, especially you get to my age, you're sort of grateful for that. I've still got 2 feet, I suppose. Put socks on. So that's something.
I got a coloring book. I got a coloring book. I did. An adult coloring book. Not like a gross one, you know, just... It's not like, you know, an X-rated coloring book, which that would be kind of cool, though.
A porn coloring book would be awesome. I've seen the ones that are sort of bad language. you can colour him out, fuck off and whatever. But it's sort of,
nice.
You know, porn, you know, yeah, I'd probably go for that. I could. You need a lot of pink crayons, though, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, let's see. My kid got a PlayStation for Christmas, and that's all he's been doing. And, of course, now he wants me to play with him as well. And that's cool and everything. But did I tell you they have, like, really horribly bad language on this video game? And I've Googled things.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a blowjob. You can get a blowjob in this video game. I did not know this when I bought it for my
Oh, really? Oh, wow. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some of them. My boy plays constantly, and some of the stuff that they have little cheats and add-ons and what have you. Some of the stuff is just but it keeps them quiet. You'll get to the point where you'll just not see. I mean, I've just seen my son. So he came down to grab some Teddy Grahams out of the pantry and scuttle back upstairs. Looking shifty.
Mine still wants me to help him and play with him, and which is nice. I'm glad that he still, you know, wants my company. But at the same time, I'm like, shouldn't you be, you know, by yourself? And you know, which I'm sure in a year or so when he no longer needs mommy, I'm going to wish for this time back. But, you know, right now I'm like, oh, man, can't you go play with somebody?
Once he gets involved with the whole online gaming. My boy is big on that. He's got a whole community of online. He's a funny story, actually. His best friend, who used to live around the corner, they moved to California last Christmas. So obviously they moved miles and miles and miles away. Over the summer, their boy came over here for a week, and we sent my boy over there for a week. So he went over for 2 weeks. They had 1 week at Disney World or Disneyland, one of those in California. And then a week
World.
Just hanging around the home. And the first week was around home, and the boy's dad put a thing on Facebook. And he said his boy was upstairs in his room playing on the PlayStation. My son was downstairs with his PlayStation so they could play online together. And he traveled all the way to California. Money well spent, you know. Fuck's sake, really? And he did the same. He came here. They literally, they sat. My son in his room, his mate in the game room, because he brought his own PlayStation, so they could play online together. So what is the point, really? Well, do you actually, you know, but hey, you know, they're happy, and it's what they do. I mean, we obviously didn't have that when I was a kid. You know, we have bricks to play with.
Yeah,
we
right.
Play with bricks mostly.
You go outside and I played with.
Go run around outside.
So. I don't know. It's the world we live in. They, you know, they're too busy on their phones or, you know, social media and stuff. And that's just the world we live in right now, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I remember about that age when the best thing in the world was a stick. If you had a good stick, it was great, you know. But hey, you know, I miss my stick. I really do. I miss my stuff. Anywho, hey, we have a show. I mean, we had a week off, which was nice. Missed you. Missed the listener as well. I bet he missed us. We have horror author S. Deirdre Gould on. And a bit of erotica, Stevie J. Cole, who's joining us, which would be fantastic. I haven't got a clues on first, because did you tell me that?
Did I tell you what? What happened?
Who's on first? It's Deirdre. No, what? Who am I? What am I doing here? This isn't the clinic.
We should never have time off, because now I don't know what's going on.
That's more the wine than the hiatus, isn't it? To be honest. Fess up.
We're not gonna.
I managed to keep up with what's going on. I know that our first guest is Deirdre. And I'm hoping. And what's the catchphrase? AT&T willing. She's on the phone.
I'm here.
Hi. Thank you. Deirdre, somebody sober to talk to. That's a delight for me. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. I'm sober. Unlike some, naming no names. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So did you have a good Christmas, first and foremost?
I did. It was a quiet Christmas.
You did?
Christmas. Yep.
Quiet, yeah? Quiet Christmas was good.
Yep.
So was I talking while you're interrupting? Is that sorry?
Always. I was going to say, we don't know. Deidre, she might not be sober, so you might be the only one sober. You really do not know this. That was an assumption.
She sounds
sorry,
more sober than you do. There you go. I knew.
It's a long habit. I was a bartender forever, so come to the territory.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Always the sober one.
I've been tempted to crack a beer during the show, but I thought at least one of us needs to stay sober. So,
okay.
So hey, Deirdre, yeah, After the Cure. I love the tagline, actually. That's really got me hooked. One day the zombies woke up and they remembered everything.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Like
mm-hmm. That's basically the story starts after a bacterial plague that the zombies aren't undead, they're living people kind of 28 days later sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the story starts after a cure is found and what happens to the society after the zombies start waking up, or I call them the infected, but...
No, so it's like you say, they're not the traditional Romero zombies. They're the more frightening running around ones.
Yeah, they're basically people that have been exposed to a version of strep, and it's eaten away part of their brain, basically, and made them do terrible things.
Okay, so do they still lust after living flesh and all that?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
They still have all of the classic symptoms. They're just not dead.
Oh, that's that. Yeah. I mean, I think the traditional zombies has probably been, you know, the shambling around. I mean, I grew up on the Romero zombies,
mm-hmm.
and probably been done as far. I mean, let's just look at The Walking Dead. I mean, the shambler, how they ever catch anyone, I don't know. You could just have a brisk walk to get away from them, you know. But I think that with the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I believe they had the zombies running around. Like you said, there's the 28 days and 28 weeks later as well. I'm told there's a 28 months later in production as well.
Supposedly,
which would be,
I hope so.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Danny Boyle anyway. You know, that first one was just... turned the whole zombie trope on its head. I mean, like you say, they weren't really zombies. They were infected. It was more of
a rabies, right?
Yeah, I was going to say rabies, similar to rabies, really, that they just made them into horrible, maniacal killers, which I think makes it more terrifying.
They can run you down.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, what inspired this? Are you a zombie-type person? Are you your thing?
Too many zombie books, and they all started with either viruses or chemicals, and I wondered why there were never any bacterial causes, and I started thinking about it, and to me the answer was because bacteria can be cured where viruses can't, and that's
mm-hmm.
where I started thinking about it. You know, that's where the interesting part came.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, I mean, obviously they have more and more bacteria becoming antibiotic resistant now, which is, I must admit, it's a thought that terrifies me. Because, I mean, again, when I was a kid, you know, it was down the docks, you know, they'd give you a penicillin for anything, you know. I mean, if you had a cold, which, as we know, is a bad thing. And all that does is allow your bacteria to build up resistance to it. So, yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah, they say, you know, things like common colds will, you know, in the future they'll be untreatable because of resistance. It's scary.
Anytime we ever talk about zombies, I'm always curious to know who watches The Walking Dead. And I just raise my hand, and then I realize nobody's here to see my hand is raised. But I like The Walking Dead. So. What?
Do you know, I
watched it.
I could not get into it. I tried. I mean, I saw the first two, and I tried to pick up, I think, season 3. I watched a couple of those, and I do you know, it just didn't grab me. You know, as much as I wanted it to, it just didn't grab me. So
yeah,
I hang my head in shame.
We gave up last year.
Yeah, you know, I have not kept up with it. I really haven't. But I loved the first season, and I think my favorite season was the one when they were in the prison. For some reason, that was so cool to me. But it lost something along the way the last year or so for me anyway. But I love the idea, and I like the whole end of the world, you know, type feel to it that, you know, we had in the beginning. And I don't know, I always liked, and I was a sucker for zombies. I loved Zombieland. Who's seen that movie? I loved that movie.
Oh, yeah. Again, there's a sequel, a sequel in the making. So, yeah.
Really?
Great
Seriously?
Film. Yes. Zombieland 2 is, I'm not sure where they are with it, whether it's in production or pre-production, but yeah, it's been mooted for a good few years now. But last I read, it is on its way, so that'll be great.
Are they bringing back the same characters or the same actors, I wonder?
I heard Woody Harrelson was connected with it, but again, until it comes out, you don't really know, do you?
Right. Really.
Did you guys ever see a great, great zombie film called The Dead? It was set in Africa. That was they did a sequel to it based in India, which was not quite so good, but the Africa one was really good. I enjoyed that. So it was better than World War Z, or World War Z, sorry, you people would say. It was for me, it had more to it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past the scenes where they were in the Jeep and there was like a pebble on the ground and the Jeep couldn't get over the pebble. I couldn't suspend disbelief for that. But I liked it other than that.
That's an artistic license.
Oh goodness!
Hello.
Oh, sorry, you were breaking up there.
Hello, sorry, it was a technical difficulty. I think I was just a pause while Xtina sort of opened another bottle. There we go. So we have a recording to play. Yes. Part of a reading, is that right?
Yeah, my audiobook narrator sent over a portion from about a third of the way into Aftercare.
Oh, right. Can we play that now?
Sure.
Can we? Brilliant. Right, I'm going to put that on. Okay. Do you need to intro it, Deirdre? Do you need to intro?
I don't think so. I think it's fairly enough in the beginning that it'll be kind of self-explanatory.
Right. Okay, let's go.
She took a deep breath with her hand on the door and prepared to meet Patient Zero in the greatest plague that ever befell mankind. Nella noticed the room itself was clean and utterly free of both furniture and debris. All the surfaces were padded and covered with vinyl, but they were blank, an endless cube of dull green. Anne Connolly was wandering the edge of the room, her arms in a permanent self-embrace inside a blindingly white straitjacket. Someone was taking care of her. Her face was clean, and the little cuts she had somehow managed to inflict upon herself were freshly bandaged. Someone had taken the time to brush her hair and fix it securely so that it would not hang in her eyes. Still, with one glance at her stumbling movement and her constantly snapping teeth, Dr. Ryder knew that there was something wrong. Anne's eyes slid over everything alike, not stopping even when Nella held out a carrot. However brilliant Anne Connolly had been before might still be in some deep place. She offered no sign of it now. She kept wandering the perimeter, stumbling every now and then, though there was nothing to trip on. "Miss Connolly," said Nella. The prisoner stopped walking, but didn't turn her head toward Nella. "Anne, I'm Dr. Ryder. I'm just here to talk with you." Anne started fighting the straitjacket. Her arms whipped up and down, giant worms writhing around the woman's thin chest. "The teeth must gnash," mumbled Anne. "I'm sorry, what did you say?" asked Nella. "The teeth must Nash! Anne's voice was hoarse and toneless, a quality Nella recognized. She had known many of the infected to wake up from the drugged sleep screaming. Some of them took hours to stop. Some of them never did. The teeth must gnash! Anne turned toward Nella, and her jaw clicked together with a snap. The teeth must gnash! Anne lurched toward Dr. Ryder, stumbling, as if pushed from behind. She continued to shout in her broken voice, The teeth must gnash! Okay, Anne, okay. Here. Nella guided a carrot between Anne's rapidly clicking teeth. Anne chewed it immediately, but began to choke. Johnson opened the door and calmly walked up to Anne. She untied the straitjacket, releasing Anne's arms. Thanks, said Nella, as Johnson left the cell. Anne was holding the carrot with hands so thickly bandaged that they were no more articulated than wool mittens. Anne, do you know why you are in here? Because the teeth must gnash. Because Dr. Schneider made all the teeth gnash. But I didn't know. I only wanted to feel better. I didn't know the teeth would want more. Anne became frantic, smashing her hands into her face. Nella gently held Anne's hands for a moment and then handed her another carrot. She tried not to think of how similar the crunch of bone and the damp snap, snap, snap of the carrot between Anne's tireless teeth sounded. Can you tell me what happened? Do you remember how this started? Anne's teeth stopped. So tired. So tired. But the eyes must see. They cannot close. They can never close. Dr. Schneider says so. She says to stay and to see. Always the eyes must see. Anne paused to chew on the carrot, and Nella winced without meaning to. But then, they are so heavy, the eyes. Like glass marbles, rolling and rolling and scratching. They ache to close, and Anne has a mist inside her head. So Dr. Schneider gives her a key. It's the special key for the beast door. Dr. Schneider tells her the beast room will turn her eyes to flesh again. Her eyes will see without closing, and the mist will drain from Anne's head, but only if Anne stays in the beast room. Only if Anne breathes what the beasts breathe. So Anne goes into the beast room many times, and she makes the teeth that gnash. She makes them everywhere, but does not know. No, not even when they fill her own mouth. Anne stuck her bandaged hand between her teeth, and before Nella could jump up to stop her, Anne's jaws snapped around it. Anne's eyes streamed with tears as her mouth ground down upon the thick pads of gauze near her fingertips. Nella gently pulled Anne's hand away from her mouth and replaced it with another carrot. Okay, Anne, okay. We don't have to talk more about it today. Anne became calm again, her gaze again like oil, sliding over the room and Dr. Ryder without pause.
Oh, no, it stopped. Wow,
that was it.
Awesome.
I was waiting for more.
I was just like, you can't stop. What was going on? That was, man, I like that. It was good.
I always say that we need to have a longer time for readings, you know, or just like a whole show of readings, because I think it's one of my favorite times. It really is.
Yeah, that was. I could have sat and listened to that all night. To be honest, that was brilliant. Well done. So,
Miles did a really good job.
who did that for you?
Miles Tabor. He's really good.
Yeah, he's got a heck of a voice. So it's available on an audio book, yeah, I presume.
Yep, it is, and we're working
awesome.
On the second one in the series, and this March. So.
Wow, that's good. I mean, what made you decide, again, obviously, you know, as a fellow author, I mean, what made you decide to make an audiobook with it?
Well, when we did it last year, there still were so few audiobooks out there, and people had started asking me for it, and I really kind of wanted to hear it.
Right, yeah.
I know it's a kind of an ego thing, but I did want to hear it, and so far people have really enjoyed it, so we're going to go for number two.
That's
never,
a great idea. Sorry.
I've actually never listened to audio books. I really haven't. So I'll have to give it a try sometime. I like to read. It's my quiet time. So, how about you, James?
I can understand that.
Yeah, like I've never.
I'm the same. I like to read. But having said that,
yeah,
you know, when we have readings on the show, I'm sort of drawn in and
right.
I'm there. You know? So maybe I need to start giving audiobooks. I think the problem is certainly, you know, the moment with having the children around, certainly the little one, you know, is
mm-hmm.
if I was relying on listening, I wouldn't hear any of it, you know.
Right,
it's just, with the noise and the chat and whatever. So I'm reading, I can, you know, you can look up from a book.
So
it could be something to do with that, you know.
So, Deirdre, who do you like to read?
Everything and anything.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm actually reading a book about bathrooms, as weird as that sounds. Because I needed to do some research for the last book, and I got interested. But I read everything. Probably Ray Bradbury is one of my favorites. I like classics too.
I read a little bit of everything too, and when I mean a little bit of everything, right now I'm reading what is it called? Troublemaker. Something. It's the book that Leah Remini wrote about her like experiences with Scientology, and
I saw that.
Oh, do you know, is that as good as it looks?
I think it is. I really,
so I really, really fancied reading that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I haven't been able to really concentrate on a book in quite some time, and it's I'm really, you know, speeding through it here. So I'm finding it pretty fascinating. And the more I read, though, I'm surprised that this whole cult religion thing has been around as long as it has. I mean, for some reason I thought it was some kind of newfangled thing, but, you know, and how anybody could get... Do you know that you have to sign, like, some kind of thing where, like, you're pledging your whatever to them for... I think it's like a billion years. I'm not even kidding, because they think you'll come back in the next life and everything, and you still have to like be. That's just weird. I mean, to me, that's like selling your soul to the devil or something.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it was the funny thing for me is that it was the guy was Hubbard, wasn't it? Actually created it. You know, he said, "I want to create a religion."
And he did.
And he did.
Well,
he created
a cult.
but he said, "I want to create a religion," and he created Scientology. And it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to be fair. Again, I don't want to get on that topic, but it's no more or no less fantastical than pretty much any other religion. And yet people just soak it. You know, this thing about the phaetons and the volcanoes and whatnot. And people just, we believe, why not, was it the flying spaghetti monster or whatever, you believe in that, you know, it's
just
feasible. Well, you know, there probably are, you know, and it's just, but the fact that he's got these people involved in it, and they put tons of money, I mean, some of those are big, because say Scientology rules a fair chunk of Hollywood, apparently, but the fact that these seemingly intelligent people, are drawn into it, you know, maybe it makes you think maybe there's a bit more to it, maybe, you know, there's more power behind it than you think, and it could be the crazy religion thing is just a front for the whole thing, you know, people laugh at it, and, you know, it could be like the Illuminati, you know, it could be the power behind the throne, but I don't know, I mean, the whole thing just seems so farcical to me, the fact that the guy said, "I'm going to make this up," you know, and the guys are. I've actually read some of his early, you know, his early sci-fi writing, and he was quite good. Hubbard was one of my favorites back in the day, and he made it up, and he told everybody he made it up. So, and yet they're all pledging their lives to this thing, and but you know, I guess
and their
some
next
people
life and the next life and
exactly all their lives. You know, I think some people just want something to believe in. I think, you know, and they will believe throw them anything, they'll believe in it, which is a bit of a mystery for me, to be honest with you. I think maybe I'm the odd one out, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
look, hey, a good book.
Yeah, I hate that we ran out of time here, but we have. And where can we find you, Deirdre? Where can we find your book?
Well, my books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Apple. And you can always catch up with me on Facebook, either just on my regular profile, Deirdre Gould, or on my page, After the Cure Novel.
Okay. And I always put everybody on the spot and ask them if they will come back to the show.
Sure, I'd love to.
Yay,
Xtina always used to say, will you come back and see us, until I pulled her up on it.
I'm not going to say it now.
Now
I stumble over
what I say. Oh, no, come on. You've got to. You know, point it. Yes, it's right. But it's a turn of phrase, you know. We'll let you have that one. I will say, will you come back and see? We're going to have, starting the new year, we're going to have a longer show, so we can have longer readings and much more time. So hopefully you'll come and join us then.
Sure, I'd love to.
Unless we put you off, obviously.
No, thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
No, thank you for joining us. You know, it's most guests, you know, the next thing we're here, we get a restraining order from the court. But, you know, it's been great. It's been, thank you for the awesome reading. We should make sure that everybody has an audio book reading, because it's exactly. I was mesmerized by that.
You did a great job.
It was good. Yeah.
You did.
But thank you, Deirdre, and I'll be stalking you.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Xtina, are you still there?
I am. Yeah,
oh,
I'm here.
You're not going to the wine cellar again. do we have any words from sponsors this week, or are we just giving up on that completely?
Well, it's already, you know, sure. Let's see.
Well, could you? I don't want to put you out. I mean, you know, if you can be asked, then go for it, you know.
Actually, I did have a word from our sponsor, a brand new press specializing in horror, bizarro, dark erotica, erotic horror, and dark poetry. Hellbound Books Publishing wants your best stories. Now open for novels, short story collections, and anthology submissions. And please pay no mind to the sulfur smell. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to learn more. Let's see. In the mood for something steamy to read this holiday season, check out New Erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. Yay!
Awesome. That was brilliant. Well done. Now you can take a breather and
I know, and a drink.
Crack open another bottle. And we all know where I'll be scooting off to. So I'll play a tune while we have a little break, and then we will be straight back.
A candy colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night. I softly say a silent prayer, like I fall asleep to dream.
back to part two. Xtina, are you still there, my dear?
I am. It's funny. I
Hello,
always have this fear. I always have this fear when you're gone to take your wee that you're not going to get back in time and I'm going to be muted and the music's going to stop. I always have that fear. I do. I freak out just a little bit.
Be just like the old days, the early days of this show. Well, there was more dead air than anything else, really, wasn't there? But
we were together, I don't think it was so bad.
Once we got rid of it, once we separated the wheat from the chaff, it was all joy, wasn't it? It was good. So, who have we not had on this week? Who's not been here? I'll give
who
you a clue.
Not
he's gonna, who who's here? Not? He's gonna be he's gonna be your president in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
should
goodness.
We? Should we?
We should, yes. Oh, we should.
Should we? Should we?
Grab him by the pussy.
That still makes me smile. It's still
me
can be
too.
Played
you know,
every week for the next 4 years. Every week.
We have really made it when our president-elect decides to visit our show every week. So
Mr. Trump, thank you very much indeed.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, laugh! I nearly passed my cigarettes around. Hey, we have have Stevie. Oh, we have an erotica authoress joining us now, which is exciting.
I can't wait for
this steady on. Don't go getting all unnecessary now. Okay.
Oh man, I'm drinking my wine and everything. I think this would be a good time for this steamy.
let's sort of bring mellow the tone now. Should we have some sort of mood music? But I don't think we have actually. Which is I should, shouldn't I? Next time I'll get some mood music going on. But hopefully Stevie, again, 18, is joining us. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay!
You've no idea what a relief it is. Just hear a voice. Shall we say? Otherwise it'd been like half hour of nothing. So thank you
but
for joining. Well,
my phone won't go out. But we'll try.
Oh, no, don't say that. Well, thank you for joining us as long as your phone holds out. It's if you got an iPhone with iOS 10.2 on it, you've probably got about 5 minutes battery life left. So we'll have to make the most of it. How are you this evening, Stevie? Are you well?
I am. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm sober. Can't speak for Xtina every time. Can't speak for... She's been drinking since about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
I think it was like 7:30 or 8:30 or sometime
that's
today.
Fine. It's almost so, New Year's or something. Right?
That's very early in the morning to start drinking, Xtina. I mean, not good. It's not good. So, X-rated. In a world of lube and fake moans, is there a place for a second chance? I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Spill. What's it all about?
Oh, X-rated?
Yeah.
Well, it's a rom-com, and it is about, a porn star named Johnny Depp, because what better name can you have than that and it's
good.
A second chance
love
romance,
it.
You know, because everyone deserves a second chance. So it's the only funny book that I have.
Is it sort of set in and around the porn industry?
It is loosely, but I don't know that much about, that industry, so I couldn't go too detailed into it. But, yeah, he is definitely, he just gets kind of wrangled into it, and then his ex-girlfriend stumbles across him when she gets hired there because she can't get another job.
Shocker.
Yeah, right. You know, I had messaged you for quite a while trying to get you to be a guest on her show, and it was hard to catch up with her. So I have to say thank you so much for coming on. And I was asking some of my my blogger buddies to recommend some, you know, good authors to have on the show. And they were mentioning some of your books, and I thought it was really interesting because the phrase that came up was sick and twisted, and I was like, ooh, I have to have her.
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. And yeah, I usually write dark romances, and then this is like one of the few contemporaries I have. I'll go through moments when you write books that are really dark. You kind of have to lighten the mood. You can't stay in that world forever.
Right,
so every
right.
once in a while I'll come out with something like X-rated or, you know, whatever else I do that's not about murder and all that stuff.
Now, who do you like to read?
Stephen King, Carolyn Kepnes. Those are two of my favorite.
I love Carolyn Kepnes. I do. Read You and Hidden Bodies and absolutely loved those books. And I used to chat with her on Facebook, you know, like last year, and I've been trying so hard to catch up with her because I would die if she would come on the show. So I'm trying really hard. But I love Joe. He was so cool. Mm-hmm. I could so see that as a movie.
I know. And you should
do. Yeah, that book really just blew me out. It was just awesome. I loved being in Joe's head. I think that was the cool part, was that as messed up as he was, because we're in his head, and he didn't think he was messed up. So, you know, that kind of made it even creepier, I think.
I think she did a really great job of doing a psychopath. Like the sentence structure and everything was amazing. But I'll read a romance every now and then, but I read mostly thrillers, like Gone Girl and Girl on the Train and Her and Stephen King and stuff, which I think is why a lot of mine gravitates towards dark romance and suspense. So.
Now, I saw Gone Girl. I didn't read the book, but I did read another book that she had done. They made it into a movie as well, but it was I think it was more like an independent film because it wasn't really huge or anything. I'm trying to think of what it was called, and it's not because I've had too much wine either. I just can't think of the name of it.
Okay, I may be getting this wrong. I want to say Dark Objects or Sharp Objects or something like that.
I don't know.
Dark Objects sounds familiar. Yeah.
I don't know if that's by her. Yeah, whatever. It was a really good book that I read, and I did love how dark her the world that she writes in. You know, I mean, it's just the whole thing. This was like a flashback, to the past where this grisly murder had taken place, and then we're, you know, in the nowadays. It just the whole thing was just done really good, and even the movie, which a lot of times I definitely don't think the movies are as good, but this movie was pretty good too. It was Charlize Theron, whatever her name is, she was in it. So it was really good. So I do like books like that and authors like that. I definitely tend to read dark stuff as well. But I read anything. I was just mentioning on the show that I was reading Leah Remini's Scientology book thingy because that was interesting. So it all depends, I guess, on my mood, you know, and what's going on and.
I think that's how it has to be when you read, and that's why I don't read romance, because I write it and I'm just like, I just want to read something that's not a love story or that doesn't have romance in it, because I deal with it every day.
Speaking of romance, do you have a reading for us?
Yes, I can't believe that you're going to like get me to do this, because when you read over the books out loud, they just sound so much worse.
No.
And I'm not the best. I'm not the most enthusiastic reader. So do I just start reading and then you just tell me when to stop?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, we don't mean to embarrass you.
No. Well, my kids are still like, they've been running around. So I came all the way down here so they don't like one here and two so that you don't hear them in the background. And so now I have no clock. I'm in this dark room with a drum set and it's a little creepy, but
Oh, no.
Yeah. So if I scream, you know. Okay, so this is going to be Gemma, and it's chapter 15. I never answered Tyler's text. I probably should have, but when she passed that day mark, well, it's just weird. Not that I would have known what to say to him. Hey, I totally get why you didn't tell me you were a porn star, but I still hate you a little right now. Or maybe just go fuck yourself. What's beyond amazing is that right now I'm starting up to a beautiful skyscraper in downtown L.A. And why? Oh, to go help my porn star ex-boyfriend make a mold of his huge dick so thousands of women can shove a silicone replica of up their vaginas. I sling the door open and the cool air from inside hits me in the face. My heels click on the marble floor as I make my way to the elevators. It took me an hour to pick out this outfit, and it's just a pair of ripped jeans and a fitted designer t-shirt with strappy heels. Heels because Tyler likes heels. And damn it, he's going to want to fuck me, and I'm not going to let him. I slam my fist over the buttons to the elevator and wait. In a matter of minutes, I'm going to walk into the office of Dick Doubles and have to stand there with Tyler as he fills out paperwork to have his penis cloned. Fuck my life. As soon as I step off the elevator, I'm staring at a picture of a cartoon penis with a smiley face. Fantastic. I pull open the door and walk inside to a smiling secretary who's basically eye-fucking Tyler. He turns around and glances at me. Hey, he says, then faces back toward the counter. Hi. Can I help you, the secretary asks. Yeah, I'm here for, I look at Tyler, whatever this is. Miss Morgan, she asks. Yep. Oh, okay, good. She stands up and walks to the hallway. You both can follow me. Tyler and I follow her down the hallway to the last door on the left. It opens to a room that resembles a doctor's office. There's a sink and counter, a few chairs, and an examination table. While she's busy rummaging through cabinets, I look at Tyler. He shrugs, rubs his hand over the back of his neck, and then sits in one of the chairs. Okay, so, she says, placing items on the counter. Basically, once you get direct, you'll mix this up. She tears open a bag and dumps the white powder into a stainless steel bowl. I'm sorry, I say with a slight laugh. Me. Uh-huh. Smiling, she pulls a spatula out of a pouch, places it on the counter next to the bowl, then fills a measuring cup with water from the sink. Just mix this water in until it's the consistency of pancake batter. Wait, again? Me? Yes, she says slowly while nodding her head. And why aren't you doing it? Men are easy. We generally don't assist if they brought a helper along with them. She winks before she holds up a long, really long, plastic tube. Fill the tube to this mark right here. Her finger skims over a black line etched on the tube. And just let it set for about 5 minutes or so. All I can do is laugh as I take the tube from her. So, Tyler says, I just shove my dick in that tube and wait. Yep, but the key is making sure you stay erect. This batter is made to mold over each little vein, every nook and cranny. We want it to look as much like the real thing as possible. Do you need some magazine, she asks? Huh? Visual stimulation. Or were the two of you... Oh, I shake my head. No. No, the two of us are not magazines. The woman leans over, opens a cabinet, and pulls out a basket of crumpled magazines. Oh, think of all the great names in porn that have touched those beauties, I say, stifling a laugh. Gemma, really. Tyler glares at me, and I shrug. The woman shakes her head and reaches for the door. And make sure you undress all the way. That plaster gets a little messy, and it does stain clothing. The door clicks shut, and now... Here we are, alone, in a room with a penis mold in my right hand. So, I say, let's get this over with, I guess. I'm sorry? It's fine, no big deal. Gemma, really, he says, his voice soft. Look at me. I do, and immediately wish I hadn't, because fuck me, he is breathtaking, and it makes me feel like a stupid, weak bitch for wanting him. Yep, looking. I should have told you. No, it's fine. I overreacted the other day. I was just, shocked and all. He studies me. Yeah, sure. No big deal, really. I walk to the sink and set the container next to the bowl. He huffs. For some reason, I don't believe you. God, I don't want to slap him. Tyler, really. We dated in high school. We hooked up because we ran into each other. I mean, shit, you're hot, but it's not like there's anything there. I see the slightest flinch in his face, and it hits me in the chest a little. Yeah, he mumbles. So drop your pants already. His eyes narrow as he kicks his shoes off. When he pulls his shirt over his head, my gaze immediately goes to his broad chest. Now he's unfastening his jeans and shoving both them and his boxers down. I swallow. He's naked. And it's just him and me and this dick mold in my hand. And this is awkward because I cannot stop my eyes from dragging over him. Damn. When my gaze meets his, he's smirking, his tongue flicking over that damn lip ring. What? I ask, almost sounding defensive. You're staring. Well, you're naked. I am. Silence. I can hear my pulse in my ears. My heart is hammering, my skin heating, because you can't not be attracted to a man like him, porn star or not. I clear my throat and look him dead in the eye. You gonna get hard or what? I don't have any Viagra with me, so I hope it still works. Right. I see that flash in his eyes he used to get when we were little. That look right before he did something awful. I usually went home crying. This is fucking war, and I know it. He knows it. Shit.
Oh, I love that. I wanted to let you keep going and going. That sounds awesome.
I thought you said you weren't any good at reading.
Yeah, you know, she did such a good job. I loved it. You did really good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, it gets interesting once he, you know, gets his little mold going, if you can imagine how fun that would be.
I don't know if they ever made it over here, but they used to do a kit in England where you could actually do that yourself. You could actually mold your own whatnot, and you could just buy the kit off the shelf, which was, not my cup of tea, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's a great Christmas gift, a gift that keeps on giving, right?
I'm probably. I'm sure my wife would be delighted with a plaster cast of my, you know. Moving on.
The things I learn about you and
Well, we used to know a guy again back in we ran a couple of companies, and one we used to do sort of grown up sort of gift experiences, and one was actually we used to send people to a life casting artist, and one of the guys we used he used to live down south, and he was amazing. I mean, he could cast people while they were having sex, and he could actually their genitals together, joined together, and it would catch every nook and cranny, every detail. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I mean, they used to do boobs and you name it, but some of the stuff was just unbelievable. But
that'd be an interesting job.
Yeah, definitely.
It's funny. He was an oldish guy. Him and his wife used to. I mean, they used to cast pop stars and, film stars and all sorts of strange people. Yeah. Yeah, because I think...
I'm sorry. I almost had a heart attack. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm downstairs in my basement, and my husband had his face pressed up against the window, and it's like pitch black outside, and I had no idea. So if you just heard me go, it's because I thought I was about to get murdered.
Oh, no. Yay.
Sorry.
And we just been talking about zombies, the last segment. So.
Oh God, you did that just on purpose. I feel like I'm about to pass out. Okay.
You can give him a thump later.
Oh, okay.
So, do you like to read thrillers? Do you basically like horror? And I mean, is that what?
I won't watch horror movies there. I used to watch them when I was a kid. Because then I just have I have nightmares anyways, but no, then it's just too visual, so.
I haven't seen a good scary movie in a long time. Nothing seems to really scare me.
I've got one for you. The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I watched it the other night. It is phenomenal. I mean, really, it's a good back to basics, claustrophobic, shit your pants horror film. I'd totally recommend it. It is. It's brilliant. And I'm pretty jaded when it comes to horror movies. I haven't seen a really good one in a long time. It is. I mean, I'm a big Brian Cox fan anyway. But watch it. You've got to see it. Brilliant film.
Yeah, I'm definitely making a note of that. If it bothered you, goodness, it's got to be kind of
scary. It was incredibly well done. Incredibly well done, yeah.
No, I have not watched a good scary movie in a long time. I haven't watched a scary movie. My son, I watch movies with him a lot, and he doesn't like scary movies. He does not like to be scared. We watched a Disney movie last night, so,
No, which one? What did you say?
I can't pronounce her name. Every time I try to pronounce this name, I do it wrong. It's the movie that Angelina Jolie was in. What was it? Maleficent? Is that how you say it?
No, Maleficent.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. My daughter didn't fancy that.
It was good. I liked it. I did.
Yeah.
All of those movies that Disney is redoing is amazing. With the actual actors, they're so great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely watch that movie again. So that would be one, with your daughter.
We have it, but my daughter just didn't really fancy it. I don't know why, but maybe she will sometime. Just force it on her. You're gonna watch this.
It's definitely better than the Sparkly Vampires, right?
I sat through all of those recently, as you know.
I know. And you loved that one where they got married and, yeah.
That was an hour of, that was a very uncomfortable hour with me and my seven-year-old daughter, that, while bloody Christian Stewart and Pattinson were romping. I did not need to, she did not, just, neither of us needed to see that, to be honest with you. And yeah, I mean, he's a vampire. He has no blood flow. So how the hell did they do things, you know?
That
how does
is
that
my
work?
Question.
Exactly.
That is what I've always wondered.
I never thought of that.
All right.
I never once thought of that. But then again, in the books, when you read in the books, they would always talk about how hard he was everywhere. You know what I mean? He was just like his body.
Maybe it was Rick and Mortis.
That's it.
But,
maybe he was permanently hard.
Right,
yeah.
But then it would have been...
That would work.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be facing the right direction then, would it be? I mean, you know.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe he strapped a little stick to it, a little popsicle stick. That was my theory.
Just to keep it propped up.
I never really thought about it too much, but now I can't stop thinking about it. I'm gonna wonder this, and you know, there's probably tons of information online that we can find out about, you know, his rigor mortis wee wee.
although technically you couldn't actually get rigor mortis because there's no joints in it, so that wouldn't work. So I'm going with the popsicle stick theory.
I don't know. I did like the books and the movies, so I can't really talk too much about it. I love it when you make that noise right there. You want to say something, but you're not allowing yourself to.
I'm just rising above it. That's what I'm doing.
No, there's been shows that you have not risen above this, but we'll let it go this time. So.
Thank you.
Anyhow, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Stevie, and you know, thank you for letting me stalk you on Facebook because I was for quite a while there, and I'm going to do it, James. Will you come back and see us again?
Yay!
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Great.
Oh, I loved having you, and I would definitely stalk you more. And as James was saying, for the shows for the new year, we're going to be a little bit longer, and hopefully you'll come back and read for us even more because I really enjoyed that reading.
Yeah, me
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely, anytime.
Me too.
Thank you. All right, you guys have a good night.
Okay, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stevie.
Okay, bye-bye. Right, I think it's time to go and say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
And we will see you for our longer show next week. Hurrah!
Yay!
Hello, baby!
Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.
Oh, you sweet man.
Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. A wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Make the world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny. Make me spend my money. Make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
What's that, baby? But,
oh, honey. But, oh, baby, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. A wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Lord, make the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's the one I like. What's that, honey? Pick you up at 8, and don't be late. But, baby, I ain't got no money, honey.
Oh, all right, honey, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face, ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in a walk and a giggle in a talk. Low, made the world go round. Ain't another in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose, like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like.